Praise the Lord.
If you have a Bible tonight, I want to turn to Isaiah chapter 44. And I feel the glory of God in here. I felt the Lord. I wasn't just pushing, trying to push beyond the preaching. And I wasn't. Felt the unction of God. There's folks in here. The glory of God was in this house. Is in this house. So I'm going to preach what's on my heart, and I'm just going to be looking for the Lord to move. If I can get this, you know, if it's the preaching that needs to finish opening this up, then I'm going to try to preach till it gets open, and then we'll just stop right there and enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Amen. If you're in this house, I wonder. Amen. Anybody in this house that does not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost in this house, you may not want to. Let's just slip a hand if you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost in this house tonight. Lift your hands up. You know, there's several in here. Amen. Boy, it'd be a good night. Amen. To get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you're lost tonight, it'd be a wonderful night to get right with God. Amen. I want to obey the Lord, and I trust the Lord will help us to help you. And it may seem a little, I don't know. I want to go to the middle of this chapter 44. Sort of, there's an unusual, I think, an unusual thing in this chapter. And I'm going to skip in here and read verse, start with verse 13, I believe. And I'm going to read down a few verses. And, oh Lord, I sure hate you to settle down too quiet here. We have heard great preaching today. And we felt the good presence of the Lord. You can't hardly get another body in this building. The singing has been out of this world, somewhere in the third heaven. Amen. Even old dry preachers have been dancing tonight. Huh? You're smiling, but what about you? What'd you do? Oh, and I hope I'm not off on this. And I guarantee you, if I am, I guarantee your pastor will straighten it out. I mean, I guarantee you. He may have enough grace to let me get to my motel, but he will straighten it out. But you know, many times in our services, you may not understand it, but there are two gods in this house tonight. You wouldn't hardly realize it, but I wouldn't doubt even tonight there's two gods being worshiped right here in this house tonight. Now you wouldn't hardly realize it the power of God was from wall to wall, front to back. Amen. But I got a little something I want to read to you, and I want to preach about these two gods that I think are in this house tonight. I'm going to start with God number two. And it talks about 44 and 13. Now, this is really very unusual reading. It's almost humorous in a sense. It's almost, when I read this, it's almost comic. But it's no laughing matter. Huh? If it wasn't so sad, we would just fall over in derision. But it's so sad. Now let me read and you see what you think. The carpenter stretcheth out his rule. He marketh it out with a line. He fitteth it with planes. He marketh it out with the compass and maketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. he heweth him down cedars, and taketh the cypress and the oak, striveneth for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it, and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god, and worshipeth it. He maketh it a graven image, and falleth down thereto. Now, he burneth part thereof in the fire, with part thereof he eateth flesh. He roasteth roast, and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself. Listen to this. And he says, aha, I am warm. I have seen the fire. And then he says this incredible thing right here. In the residue thereof, he maketh a god, even his graven image. He falleth down unto it, and worshipeth it, and prayeth unto it, and saith, deliver me, for thou art my God. Unheard of. Amen. I want to bring your attention to something that I call this, as I've been wrestling with this the last 2 or 3 days. You can say it's pretty relatively new because it's on Days End, stationary. So my little girl looked through my Bible and she said, Daddy, you stayed in Days End quite a bit. I got a lot of them stuck in there. And I wish I could do better. Amen. But I really feel this on my heart. And that's where it's at. If I can get anointed. But I want you to notice the goings on here. A man goes out in the woods and cuts down a tree. He trims up the leaves, the limbs, and he trims off the bark, and he cuts off, and he puts that in a fire and kindles a fire, builds a fire. And while he's got that fire, somebody makes him up some dough batter, and he bakes him some bread on the stove, on the fire. And man, how many knows that that's not a bad deal? Huh? And then, I may not get it just right, but he after he bakes some bread on that fire, he has a roast. And so he kindles that fire, and he puts a roast on the fire, and I can just about hear the grease dropping in the fire now, sizzling as that roast gets done on a spit, and as it turns over, and he's already got the bread baked. Amen. He's already cut the wood. And you know, if you've ever cut wood, it stimulates you somewhat. Amen. And so he's got the blood flowing, and he's got the bread baked, and he's got the fire burning. Amen. And then he roasts that roast on the fire. Amen. And he eats that roast. Amen. And he eats that bread. Amen. And he says, I am satisfied. But really, he wasn't satisfied. Amen. He eats that roast and eats that bread, and he says, I'm satisfied. Amen. Then he says, he warms himself by the fire. And brother and sister, you and I both know that that's a pretty cozy setting, a pretty comfy setting. Amen. Good roast beef cooked on the fire. Amen. And bread cooked on the fire. Amen. But oh, listen, man has made a lot of blunders in his life. Amen. A lot of mistakes he's made in life, but he's getting ready to make the biggest mistake of his entire life. While he's sitting there, amen, warming and looking and eating, he satisfies that craving, that appetite, amen, for food, for bread, for meat. He satisfies that desire to be warmed, amen, and break the chill of his life. And then he says, his emotions come out of him. And he says, aha, amen, I am warm. In other words, amen, he felt the glow of the fire. fire. Amen. Come on now. Amen. And then, as he felt the glow of the fire, amen, the Bible said, amen, he took the residue of that wood, that thing that he was so pleased with, that thing that had filled his stomach and filled his belly. Amen. God help me preach to you tonight. And the Bible said he took the residue, amen, of that wood, and he made a god. Oh my, what a blunder he made. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Amen, there's two gods, amen, being honored in this house tonight. Amen, and I must say, most everybody was honoring the God of glory. But there's a few in here tonight that was honoring the God of the glow. Hallelujah. And that's what I want to preach on tonight. Amen, the God of the glory or the God of the glow. Come on now. A lot of people like their God, amen, because it's what feeds their belly. It feeds their appetite. Don't you tell me now. I was in this house last night observing this service. Amen. And I saw some bowing down. Oh, they were cozy, comfy. Amen. They were pulled up. They were satisfied with the thing they had worked out with their own hand. Amen. They probably looked in the mirror before they came and they liked what they saw. And they said, I'm all right. This is good enough. I'm satisfied. Amen. But listen. Amen. Come on now. Amen. That's the God of the glow. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house right now. Amen. I'll tell you what. Amen. You may be looking for a God. Amen. With a comforting fire. But my God is a consuming fire. Oh, somebody say amen. You've got just enough religion to keep you warm and keep you satisfied. Hey, but brother, when you begin to bow down at that health and that work and that money, amen, and what you can do, hey, you're getting ready to make a terrible blunder. Oh, help me preach a little bit. Would you lift your hands and ask the Lord, amen, to help me? I'll not preach long tonight. I'll not preach long, but I feel like preaching a little bit. I can see this. I can see, oh, what a, and you know, really, Isaiah makes sport of this. Amen, Brother Benny. Amen, the first part of this chapter. Amen. He's talking about a God that wasn't created, but a God that did the creating. Oh, somebody help me preach a little bit. I know we're living in a humanistic world where men worship the creature, amen, more than the creator. Hey, that's what some of you are doing in this house tonight. What kind of meeting would we have if every last boy or girl, man or woman, amen, would realize, amen, that God has created me. Amen. Come on now. Amen. He said, I created you. Amen. From your womb. Listen to this. I formed thee from the womb. Amen. I, the Lord, have made thee and formed thee, will help thee. Oh, if you could realize tonight. Amen. Come on now. If you could realize with me tonight. Amen. That there's two gods in this house. And there's some that are serving the God of the glory. With the fire that man has built, your success, your prosperity, your good health, your good sense is not enough God for you. Stay with me now. Woo! The preacher said I had the message. I've got the only message that I've got. I'm going to believe God. Amen. Stay with me just a few minutes here. Praise God. The Bible said, talked about a people whose God was their belly. I want to ask us something here tonight. Where would the holiness movement be tonight if all of our forefathers had had this attitude? Amen. That they were going to serve the God of the glow instead of the God of the glory. Where would we be? Where would we be? Where can this man stand? Brother Gallagher, in the light. of that scripture that says, seek ye first. Amen. Come on. Because you see what he made his God out of. Amen. What are we making our God tonight? You see what this idolater made his God out of. He made it out of the residue. Amen. After he'd baked his bread. After he had warmed his own self. Amen. After he had roasted his meat. Amen. Then out of what was left, Brother Benny. Amen. He made a God. A little old wooden graven image, and he fell down and said, help me. You see, he had a need other than bread, other than warmth. He had a need for a God, amen, that could help him when he couldn't help himself. And I tell you tonight, you are missing out, amen, when you take what's left over of your busy life, your busy time, your effort to please your own self, and then make your God out of what's left. I tell you what, it's a fool. Amen. God is making a mark of a man that'll take the leftovers and make his God. I want to preach a little bit if I can. Think about this for a minute. This won't be long. Where would this church be? Amen. If our forefathers had I had this attitude of what I've got left, I'll give to God. Brother, I read of a band of men where the Bible said, Jesus said, follow me. And the Bible said they left their nets and followed him. Amen. It wasn't much. Help me preach a little bit here tonight. I said it wasn't much. Help me, Holy Ghost. It was only nets and boats. But brother, I'll tell you what it was. It was the best they had. Amen. And it was the first they had. And it was all they had. I tell you what, this place would blow up if everybody in this house tonight would give their first and give their best and give their all and quit giving God the residue of your life. Hallelujah. Well, I feel like preaching tonight. I said I feel like preaching tonight. But we sit by the fire. We sit and comfort ourselves. Amen. This man built this fire. He observed this tree in the wood. He waited till it grew to maturity. He cut it down. He knew what he was wanting. He cut that tree down. He kindled his own fire. Amen. He warmed it. Amen. He was independent of God Almighty. And you're like that here tonight. Amen. You didn't come to worship the God of glory. You come to worship the God of the glow. You've got a religious place. You've got your religious spot here at Dryden Road where you come every night and warm yourself by the glow of what you've done all day and what you used to be and what you in your idea that you really are. But can I tell you, amen, the leftovers will not do. Oh, somebody say amen. I wish I could preach to you tonight. If you give your best and your all, then you can worship the God of glory here tonight. I'm preaching right to you. I'm preaching right to you. I'm not trying to kill. I'm not going to kill. Amen. I'm not going to kill. Amen. Seek ye first. Amen. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen. You know what you're going to do if you're not careful, friend. You know what's going to happen to you. You're going to be like this man I'm getting ready to read to you about right here. Amen. The Bible said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Oh, I hear you talking to me. I hear your heart protesting this sermon. Listen. He spake a parable and said, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty. And now I want you to begin to listen to me as I read this. If you've read sermon books, I remember reading M.S. Rice, what did he title that? The Battle of the Barns. Huh? I haven't read it in years, but I remember this. And he pointed out in that sermon, I want you to look at it with me He missed a few of them. I went back and counted them. But I want you to notice what this rich man did. Notice how many knows a pronoun. Now, I'm not an English scholar. I'm not even English. I'm not even a scholar. Huh? But I want you to notice these first person pronouns. Huh? First person. How many understands what a first person pronoun? You know, people that have the God of the glow are familiar with first person pronouns. Huh? I want you to notice in this scripture what he said right here. He said, and he brought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do, and I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater, and I will bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my, whoa, can you feel it? He's about to get happy, warming himself in the glow of the fire of what I am and what I can do, what I have done, and what I'm going to do. Last night we had service and we were worshiping two gods in this house. Come on now. The God of glory and the God of the glow. Praise God. I tell you, when the God of glory takes over, those that are worshiping the God of the glow, they're not too interested. They'll yawn and gape and yawn and stretch and look at the clock and might even leave early. It don't even bless them. Amen. They might even say something like, amen, why don't we get to the word? Come on now. But they don't really mean that. They don't really mean that because I'm on the word right now and they're in the same shape they were in. I tell you what your problem is. Amen. The only fire you see is the one you built yourself. Amen. And the glow. And you know there's something about that fire. When men look into that fire they build, their vision gets altered. Their vision gets perverted. And when they look around they can't see anything else but their fire. But brother, when you look into this fire of God, amen, you change from glory, amen, to glory. I wish somebody would say amen. I tell you, we need a revival. I said we need a revival in this house right now where two gods no longer exist in the same house, but the God of glory, amen, rises in our heart. Feel like shouting a little bit here. Huh? In a camp meeting like this, it's inevitable that you have a mixed multitude. Inevitable. And really, I don't mind. Not a bit. Not when we get that fire cranking up like it was cranked up tonight. Oh, my God. I'm interested in you tonight, friend. You going to help me preach a minute more? Come on, somebody help me preach. Amen. You know, he said to his soul, and I'd say, brother, if you could personify a soul, and he said to his soul, amen, take thine ease. I'd say that soul would say, hey, buddy, please don't do this to me. Oh, you're going to take your ease, and you've got stored up for many days. There are folks in this house tonight. You're warming yourself by that glow of that fire, amen, that you're going to have for many days. And really, I want you to give me a contract and a guarantee and an affidavit, amen, stating that you are going to have another day to live. Oh, come on now. Ain't no man can do it. Ain't no man ever has done it. I want to tell you something. Amen, that fire of that foolish idolater, it kept dying down, and he had to keep putting wood. It kept dying down, and he kept putting on wood. It kept dying down, and he kept putting on wood. It does not satisfy. It is foolishness. He is blind. You know what God said to this man? This night thy soul is required of thee.
I want you to
Won't you lift your hands? I don't feel like quitting yet. Which God are you serving? If you're not careful, friend, when you built that fire, you spent your energy, your time, and you feel the pleasure of that fire, you'll say, this is all I need. I'll just take what's left of this. Amen. I'll take, come on now. Am I preaching right? Am I preaching to you right? Are you in this house tonight? Am I preaching right to you? Which God are you worshiping in this house tonight? Huh? That simple glow of that fire. That only you get to the glow and the heat off of that fire. Or do you need a fire like those disciples got when it consumed them? It took them. Amen. I've give all. Amen. I've give all. Oh God. Where are we at tonight? We've got $3.49 gas right down the street here. Is that pretty good? Is that average or as best I've seen? I don't know when. That old truck. Well, that nice truck that brother gave me to drive. I'm not going to complain about $3.49 gas when he bought the truck and pays the insurance and puts the tires on it and even has it washed every now and then. If he can catch it home. I ain't got the nerve to growl about the gas. But I'm just going to inform you, it gets 16 miles to the gallon. Huh? I put in $90 in that baby before. And I've heard people say, what are we going to do if it goes to $5 a gallon? Heard preachers say that. And you know, it does present. But you know, I've heard those old timers talk about, amen, going out and no gas and needing to get to revival and fall on their knees and say, God, would you fill this tank and let me get to revival and drive to revival and drive back home and go all week and still not get any gas. And y'all believe that? You know, when we'll quit, when we'll park and we say we can't do it, it's when we've been warming by our own fire and the fire dies down and all we got is ashes and we're feeding on ashes. But we're serving the God of the glory. Somebody say amen. I believe we can have revival right in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. I believe in this house tonight, as I'm almost done preaching, I believe in this house tonight, if every soul in this building would look to the God of glory, the God that created them, the God that will help them. Amen. He said, I am God, and there is none other. I am God, and there is none other. Oh, I feel the Lord in this house tonight. How many feels the Lord? I want you to lift your hands. I feel like I'm done right here. I'm gonna make an altar call right here. I feel like the Lord spoke to my heart. I definitely feel. Are you listening to me? You can justify your little fire all you want to. You can say a man's got to eat. A man's got to be warm. But a man don't have to make his God out of it. I'm telling you last night, I'm just telling you what I felt last night. I felt the Spirit of the Lord speak to me and say, there's two gods in this house. Now tonight, it was hard for me to say that because there's still, it's still a God. It's still in this house. And I want you to see how comical, and that's not the right word, but I want you to just see what a joke it is The man of God said, "That's your God? Think, man, think. You went out in the field and cut that with your own instrument. You did that. Here you are. You don't have the Holy Ghost. And there's some here, and a few hands went up. You didn't have it, and it's not you that I'm browbeating here. It's them that profess to have it and haven't spoken tongues in many, many, many days. You don't have the Holy Ghost, friend." Oh, it got chilly. Somebody's fire just went out back here. I feel a cold spot right in the room right here. You know why? You know why? Hey, man, when this becomes just a novelty, sister, you can go out of here tonight. I just want to tell you, there ain't a doubt in my mind, you can go out of here tonight full of this Holy Ghost fire. Are you listening to me? You know why? We just look around. It's just a novelty. See these boys running. Hey, man, buddy, I'm going to tell you something. They keep running. They're going to be running in tall cotton after a while. Is that the right way of putting it? They just keep on running. I remember when Isaac was 5 years old and I brought him up here to this meeting. Brother Joy Hyatt was preaching it. First time I ever preached here. I think you were going to a funeral and they got you away and they went ahead and took a chance on me. Amen. And I preached on "They Have No Wine." I don't know if anybody remembers that little sermon. And I told about Isaac was 5 years old, I believe. And I remember going back to the motel. Might have been down the road street somewhere. You'd put me in a motel. And I remember Isaac came in there 5 years old. And he came in there and he said, "Daddy," he said, "I need to talk to you." And I said, "What is it, son?" He was right here, here at Dryden Road. Amen. When Isaac, 5 years old, he's 21 now. Amen. But he said, I need to talk to you. I said, "What is it?" It always worried me when he said that. And I said, "What is it, son?" He said, he stuttered around. He said, "Well," I said, "Lord's been dealing with me to preach the gospel." And I said, "Really? When'd you feel like a..." You know, when did you, well, I felt confirmation. That's not the word he used, but he said, "I felt, you know, tonight in the service," he said, I told the Lord dealt with me before, Dad, but I couldn't read. And I said, "Lord, when I learn to read, amen, I'll step on out." Praise God. He said, "Daddy, I can read a lot of words now." He was just 5 years old. I couldn't imagine what he could read. Amen. Come on now. Amen. I tell you, I thought of that, brother. But you know, he's 21 now, and he's preaching the gospel. Are you listening to me? Amen. I remember taking him. It was about that time. Every time, Brother Kevin, you remember him. You came through there about then. Wasn't even married. Remember I told you you didn't have enough faith to get married. Remember I told you that? Finally, you got the faith. Praise God. Amen. But he came through, and Isaac was 5 years old, and he would get up and run around the church like his boys. And you know, I mean, it'd be dead as a funeral. And all of a sudden, here he come around, you know, running. One night, brother Jeff, I believe it was brother Dale. I can't remember, but you know, he loved that song. Brother Dale loved that song, page 10. What is that? Meeting in the air. And Brother Dale, sometimes he'd get that started a little slower than normal. And he was singing "Meeting in the Air." And I thought, let's pick that thing up. But Brother Isaac didn't need it picked up. He took off running around the church. And it was quiet and dead and off key. I took home that night. You may have heard me tell it. I took him home that night. And I said, I need to talk to him about this. I thought I needed to, you know. I learned better than that. But I went in and I said, "Son, come here. I want to talk to you." I think he knew already what was up. Big old tears welled up in his eyes and he dropped his head. Amen. And I said, "You know, you ran tonight." I said, "Well, did you notice that nobody else was running?" Now, how do you do this, brother? Huh? You're right. And I said, he said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, what you need to do, son, is kind of feel after the spirit, you know, and when other folks start running, then run along with them." I see you looking at me like you sinner. But he looked up at me and he choked and he said, "Daddy, do I have to wait till everybody runs?" And when he said that, I quit right there. And I said, son, and this is the first time I'd ever done it, issue words of wisdom and then erase them all at the same time. I said, son, listen to me. You remember what you know what we're talking about? I want you to try to forget every word I've said right now. Because if you wait till everybody runs, ain't nobody going to run. Are you going to help me preach? I want to tell you, you're in this house tonight. You watch these kids run around, and you say there ain't nothing to it. I tell you, you're warming by the wrong fire. Amen. You're warming by the glow of your own cold fire. You need to begin to worship, amen, the God of glory. Oh, somebody say amen. The God that created you. I don't mean to get out of the way, but I am sick and tired, amen, of folks sitting around soaking seasoned sour and rotten, amen, waiting, and they're content, they're satisfied, they kindle up a little fire, they warm themselves by their devotion, and then they go sit back down, amen, brother, amen, we need to warm, amen, not just by the fire, but we need to be consumed by the fire of the Holy Ghost. I want to know tonight, which God are we serving? The God of the glow? That's why when you go out in the world, you can't hardly see which right way to go. You've been staring into that fire. But brother, if you get this fire, he'll guide you in all truth. You know what God said about these? Stay with me. I'm done. Stay right there. Steve, look what he said in that text. I've got to turn back over. I've lost my place. Listen to this. He said, they have not known nor understood, for he has shut their eyes and they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. And none considereth in his heart. Neither is there knowledge or understanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire. Yea, also, I want to ask you right now, friend, I feel prompted to ask you this. You think you're going to be happy with all of this world? If you are, you'll be the first person in the history of the world that ever was satisfied with this world. Consider in your heart. Feel the Holy Ghost right here. How many will repeat what the Holy Ghost said? He alone is God. Say it with me. He alone is God. He alone is God. He alone is God. Have you ever noticed? You buy that toy, throw it on the fire. In a little while, the warmth's gone. You buy another toy, throw it on the fire. It warm a while. And it is gone. You're sitting in this house tonight, friend. Listen to me. You are in this house tonight. And while we worship the God of glory, You worship the God of the glow. You think in the outskirts and in the shadows that no one notices because there's some fire about you, but it's not the real fire. Amen. But I want to tell you tonight, by the power and authority of the Holy Ghost, has told you if you'd respond to the Spirit of God tonight, amen, God would consume you to where you couldn't say, I have, and I will, and I'm going to, and I have, and I'll turn it on. He'll burn that I up to where you say, there's no God but thee. There's no God but thee. Sweet Lamb of God, I feel the Holy Ghost. And they left their nets. You say, well, that's not much. That's not, but that's all. And that's all that you've got to do. I think God is jealous tonight. I think God is trying to reveal to you the folly of what you're doing, the futility of your best effort to warm and satisfy your life outside of God. We made a lot of blunders in life, and we will continue. We'll make blunders along life, but God forbid we'd ever make this fatal blunder of making a God out of our everyday life. Huh? Praise God. Won't you lift your hands, and Sister Boggs, come to the piano, if you will. I want you to lift your hands and ask the Lord to deal. There's somebody in this house tonight that all, what they need is a God. What they need is a God. They've got all of that, and they still are striving and hungering for a God. I want to see them get the God of glory tonight. How about you? Huh? Pastor?
The best advice any man of God could give you right now, humble yourself. Humble yourself and take that first step towards changing. You'll never change until you take that first step and accept this message as truth from God. Even if it's just starting in your life, even if you can just see the tendency that you have of embracing it, flee now to God. The cost gets greater as you tarry. The roots go deeper as you tarry. They intertwine around stuff as you tarry. But if you come now, He'll set you free. We'll step out right now. Who'll step out right now? Who'll step out right now? We're waiting on you. This message was for somebody. Did you know? Led by the Spirit of God, we could have went on and pursued the shout. But we could have shouted right over your destiny. You're the most important person in the world right now. Because God has you in mind. And if you will just get up, God will take whatever it is and fix it. And it can be fixed tonight. These have already come there. You need to step out in boldness now and come. Don't look around to see what people think. Don't look for their opinion. It's God. It's God. God's dealing with you now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. This message is eternally important. It's not a 30-minute message to you to judge. It's a 30-minute message that's judging you. If you die without taking advantage of this message, God will quote it to you in eternity. That you were warned in time to stop the slide to hell.
That's right. Come on, preacher.
And come to God to get it fixed. Come on, somebody step out. I know you're in there. You're there, and God knows that that's why He's dealing with you. Come out of there and come on now. Come on now. If you know somebody, reach over and tell them. Say, if you're afraid to go by yourself, I'll go with you. That's what a friend's for. Who will step out? Who will come? You've tried it. None of it has worked. You've had your way, and it still has not brought you what you want. But tonight, God's set before you an open door. And you can walk through it to liberty and love and happiness. Step out now and come. Come on. He waits for you. You know He's the answer.
Yes, He is.
You've tried everything else.
That's right.
God now has waited all this time for you to try it and let you know that it doesn't work. Now step out and come and give yourself to God. Come on. Come now. Come on. Come on. Play the man. Step on out. That's it, son. Come on. Is there another that would follow him? Is there another? Don't let this slip by. Your heart will get so hard. You'll fall back into the same trap. You've already seen what it can do to a family. Don't let it happen again. Come on, Angie. Come on. That's it. Come on home. Come on. Well, they're coming. You ought to be coming too. Anyone else? You need to come. Step out. Step out. Step out. Step out. Step out. Step out. There you are. There you are. Come on. That's it. They're coming. Why don't you come? Come on. Come on, son. You ain't going to be happy. Come on. You know it. Come on. Come on now. Come on out of there. Come on. There's room right here. Right where you prayed the other time. Right here. When I cried over you with a broken heart. God's waiting on you. Won't you come? Anyone else out there? Anyone else out there? You need to come. Come on. Come on. You're missing a great opportunity. Come on, church. That's it. That's it, son. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, church. Raise your hands and ask God to give us help around this altar tonight. Make an altar, son. Make an altar. Is there another that would come? Is there another that would come? Come on, don't let that burden draw you away. Don't warm by that false fire. You'll end up freezing to death. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Won't you come? Don't wait. Don't wait any longer. Come now to Jesus. Come now and get help.
Help me, help to get saved. gotta have my Jesus.